Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, Riverland Roofing Studios. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. I write and cover your Ole Miss Rebels, basketball, football, baseball, you name it, recruiting. For the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and for the Ole 3, sign up today and get full access to the Ole Miss Spirit for just $1 a week. That's $50 for the year. That's the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and for the Ole 3. Riverland Roofing powers everything we do at Talk of Champions. RiverlandRoofing.com for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Our thanks, of course, to Riverland Roofing. And the man you're looking at right now is Michael Katz of the Daily Journal. He also covers your Ole Miss Rebels football, baseball, basketball. I don't know about how much recruiting, but enough. He's Michael Katz. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Not much, man. How about yourself?
Oh, nothing much. I'm enjoying my Tuesday morning. Ole Miss basketball, not so much. What is wrong with Ole Miss basketball, Katz?
Yeah, it's it's getting a little dicier. I mean, I think they're pretty safely in right now, but I think they got to win one more game. I think if they finish 9-9 in SEC play, I think they're probably feeling pretty good about a tournament bid. But man, if you lose out at the end of the year, that's tough. I mean, I think that like we always knew the rebounding thing was gonna be a problem with this team. Mm-hmm. They're just not very big. But man, it's just kind of against everyone now. They are just not winning that fight. They're kind of getting out tough, and they're just getting themselves into these really bad situations. Like they get in these big holes and they'll dig themselves out of these big holes. And then it's too little too late. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if this team is like worse than it was. I just think that their kind of style of play is catching up with them, if that makes sense, and it's catching up with the schedule.
I could buy that, especially for a team that relies so much on protecting the basketball, doing the gritty things right. When your point guard and Sean Padula turns the ball over five times, I mean, you're not going to win many games if you're Ole Miss basketball, especially if you don't have that go-to guy that is always going to have some volume. I'm looking at the rest of the schedule. Number one, Auburn is tomorrow at 6. Then it's home against Oklahoma, home against number 5, Tennessee, home against or on the road to close out the regular season at number 3, Florida. Where does the next win come from? Because Oklahoma is not an easy out either. That's the thing. Like what was at one point after LSU and South Carolina, really gritty wins for a tournament team. The SEC is tough. They figured out a way just to survive in advance. Now it's kind of put into much different perspective when I know it was 77-22 at Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt really dominated that game out of the gates, almost had to dig itself out of a hole. And at one point, like you said, that style of play is just untenable. You're not going to be able to climb out, and they didn't. And so you look at the rest of the schedule, and it is concerning because now all the things we worried about this team way back when are starting to materialize at the absolute worst time.
Yeah, it's again like that Oklahoma game is kind of the one you circled where you're like, okay, well that's you check that one off. But they looked really good this last weekend against State. They beat up State, and that's a State team that swept Ole Miss. you know? So you just, yeah, I don't know. They need to win that one. Tennessee's obviously going to be a really hard game because of the way they play defense, but Tennessee also will just not be there offensively sometimes. And that's when they're bad, they just cannot hit shots. They'll let teams kind of hang around. But I don't think you can depend on that. I think that Oklahoma game, you better scrap that one, because tomorrow's going to be really, really hard against the best team in the country. Florida is lights out for the most part this year. And, you know, when Tennessee is good, they are a Final Four caliber team under Rick Barnes. So it's, yeah, I think you'd rather have this sort of stretch when you're not playing your best ball a couple months ago. It's kind of tough when it's the end of February and all of the warts are sort of presenting themselves.
What it reminds me of is, you weren't here, but 2018-19, the last time they made the NCAA tournament, and they started out really, really strong that year, went into conference play undefeated, and then finished, I think, 7-11 or something like that, and at the end of the year weren't playing great, go into the tournament because they were in a position, because their resume was so strong, dang near impossible to play themselves out of it, which is exactly where Ole Miss is right now. Which they deserve credit for, because they got that Louisville win in the non-con. They've got a lot of notable wins on the resume. But in that 18-19 year, Ole Miss goes to the NCAA tournament and gets absolutely tattooed by Oklahoma in an 8-9 matchup. And this Ole Miss team was on the 4-seed borderline 2 weeks ago, and now it's trending toward the 8-9 cut line. And I think a lot of it has to do, like what you're talking about, man, before we jump to football, for the reason why Katz and I jumped on together, because we got some football news and some football stuff to discuss. Wanted to start with basketball, because in the YouTube comments, somebody said, wait, I need a basketball update. Here it is. I think it's really just, first of all, the lack of rim protection, which was always a problem, is finally coming home to roost. And number two, their style of play was, don't turn the ball over, play clean, turnovers, defense, turn into offense, and that just hasn't been the case the last couple of games. Again, Sean Padula, 5 turnovers in the last game. Your point guard's doing that for this team, and you start 0-9 from 3. It's just a recipe for absolute disaster. So that's where we are right now with Ole Miss basketball. Again, I don't think they can play their way out, Cats, but I'm looking at where they were and where they are, and it's certainly going in the wrong direction. Right now, Ole Miss is projected as the 7th seed in the SEC tournament match with LSU at this 15th seed and Vanderbilt at the 10. Vanderbilt just proved that they're a terrible matchup for Ole Miss. So imagine if you don't get one of these next four, you go into the SEC tournament, you don't get one of the SEC tournament, just like in 2018-19, you're just asking for what you've been wanting so much, Ole Miss fan, a return to the NCAA tournament, that not-so-great return on investment. That just kind of like you get there and it's a blah. And that's kind of how it's going for me, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, a couple weeks ago, I felt pretty confident, like, that this team could make it to the second weekend.
I did too.
And I don't feel quite as strongly that way anymore. It has not been pretty. And this is when you want to be playing your best ball, and they're just not.
No, they're not. And you thought that Dre Davis was really becoming that dude for them, and really their best offensive play is give the ball to Dre in the block and let him drive. But that hasn't been efficient. There's just inefficiencies all over the place, and that's concerning. Can Ole Miss stop the bleeding again? Traveling to number one top-ranked Auburn on Wednesday. The road doesn't get any easier. But I called Cats, or texted Cats, on Tuesday nights because we have some news for Ole Miss football. If you haven't heard, why aren't you a member of the Ole Miss Spirit, first of all? OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate on 3. But if you are, you knew this yesterday. Trey Hall, the Gulf Coast Community College running back, we've confirmed that he has an Achilles injury. He's not likely to see any action in 2025. That leaves LSU transfer Logan Diggs, who didn't play at all last year until the Gator Bowl and showed a little bit. Missouri transfer Keewon Lacy, freshman Shekai Mills-Knight, a former 4-star running back who almost absolutely loves, and Jordan Simmons, the transfer from Akron. First, Cats, Trey Hall out likely for the year. Running back was the area of contention all year last year. What was your first reaction to this when you found out the news?
I mean, it's brutal. But when your season ends before it even gets started, that's just tough for the kid. It's you feel for him. But you know, again, like they brought in a lot of guys that I think that they were excited about. Like you don't bring these guys in if you don't think they can do something for you. So to lose one is tough. As you mentioned, the running back room was a conversation for a lot of last year. I think it's a different conversation this year. But you know, that's a guy that I think they were hoping they could get something from, and for it to not happen at all, it's brutal for the kids, brutal for them.
It's brutal. But Tre Hall was not going to lead this room. Let's be honest. I mean, it was going to come from Logan Diggs or Kawan Lacy, Shekkye Mills-Knight. But there's no like obvious, this is going to be the guy day one that's going to carry us in the backfield. So if you had to buy stock on any of these running backs, knowing what we know about last year and who you buying, who you thinking leads the room?
Man, like I probably would have felt better about Mills Knight because I really like him. But he's not on campus yet, correct?
Correct. He was not a mid-year
So
enrollee.
that makes it a little tougher when they don't get spring ball and they're just coming in, you know, like Quinshon a couple years ago came in spring, so he had those reps and he was a little bit more ready as a true freshman. So I'm kind of backing down from that one a little bit, though I do think that he is going to play a big role. I think Lacey's a good bet. I mean, they liked him a lot coming out of high school, obviously, and they got him this time. I wouldn't count out Diggs. I think they really like him too. And I think, you know, when he's finally completely back from that injury, again, we saw a little bit of it in the Gator Bowl, and he had like what three or four carries, whatever it was. But again, he's a guy who's been productive at a bunch of different places. So I think that there's room for that sort of veteran back who you like, you kind of know what you're getting when you put him out there for the most part. He's going to churn out yards. But I think him and Lacy are pretty good for buying stock. Lacy, I think, could be if he gets going, I think they could ride him.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that's the leader in the clubhouse because, like you said, coming out of high school as a four-star prospect that Ole Miss absolutely loved and got to the final decision, it was between them and Missouri. He goes with Missouri. Not a lot of production in his freshman year at Missouri. Jordan Simmons from Akron is a versatile player that could play wear a number of hats for Ole Miss. And Dominique Thomas is still here as well, and he flashed a little bit as a short yardage guy last year. The question is, has Ole Miss done enough? Because there's another window coming up in April. It's only 10 days. It's shorter. The options are going to be different. I mean, this is not like the first portal window when it's thousands upon thousands. There's going to be a lot of kids get in and try to find a home, but the timeline is much different. The quality of player and the selection or the selection that is afforded to these colleges are different, is going to be different once that portal window opens. So have they done enough or do they need to add another?
See, I think like if you don't have your guy yet, you're probably not gonna get it in this next window. I think I don't know. For me, that second window has always felt more depth or just sort of trying to bring guys in who can do something for you. I mean, you don't. I just feel like you're not finding a ton of game changers in that second window. Obviously, there's exceptions to that rule, but I think that when the guys they brought in, I think are the guys that they are expecting to be there. They're leading guys. Could you always use more, of course, and it's going to be interesting to see what everybody looks like when the spring starts. But I would have to imagine, like, yeah, they might bring a running back in, but I don't think it's going to be somebody that is going to like lead the room, if that makes sense.
Have they done enough? Do you think that, like, knowing what we know, you know, because like last year it was all about Ulysses Bentley because of the inefficiencies of the running game. Why is the highest graded returning running back in the SEC not getting carries? Then I show up and ask the question again, and got called to the principal's office, Lane's office, and Lane was really cool about it until I didn't show up for the next thing, and he was like,
"And he noticed.
Where is stupid Ginger Shrek at?" So I will be showing up this year. You know, I've learned my lesson. I need to be there and all that stuff. But the point is that last year, running back was probably the number one conversation piece for any Ole Miss fan about the season that wasn't. They finished with three losses. They didn't make the playoff. And you could point to the lack of a running game almost directly for a number of the offensive inefficiencies in those losses. So have they done enough? I mean, who do you like? How do you grade this right after an offseason where you knew they had to go add some pieces? I like what they got. It's just I don't know if they got enough.
Yeah, I don't know if they have a guy that like right now you're like, man, that is an all SEC running back right there. Like that's a dude who's gonna lead them into he's gonna have 100 yards and in big games and all that kind of. I don't know if that, at least as of right now, if that guy is there. And I don't know if that's the way this team is built. I think, like you said, like I think they brought in a lot of nice pieces. And I think that you can create a productive running game with the pieces if they use them. But you know, as we've seen, it's always sort of hard to figure out how the rotation is going to look, who's not going to see time, all those sorts of things. I think it has the potential to be a good enough running game, but I don't know if it's going to be like the dominant sort of running game that I feel like they probably are going to need this year when you're breaking in a new quarterback. And I know Austin Simmons is going to be really, really good. We all think he's going to be very, very good, but I think a running game would probably help a young quarterback. And I don't know if they're going to be able to lean on it the way that, Jackson could with Quinshon a few years ago. I think it's just going to look different. I don't know if we're going to see that team that was the third in the country a couple years ago in rushing.
Yeah,
I don't
no,
I,
it
that.
wasn't just Quinshon. Zach Evans was
I mean,
1A. Well, I mean, he was
I'm
an
crazy.
NFL player.
They didn't get a Zach Evans in the portal. Zach Evans was a guy who ran for almost 1,000 yards in his career at TCU beforehand. You knew what you were getting, Zach Evans. He was a five-star kid coming out of high school. He was a huge deal. I don't think they have one of those.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. And I don't necessarily think that the guys they went after in the portal would have had that type of impact necessarily. I think Mekhi Hughes, who ended up going to Oregon, getting paid, joining his brother, making $1 million, I think, at Oregon. I mean, look, that Ole Miss is not going to pay $1 million for a running back in a year where they're retooling. I'm not saying rebuilding, they're retooling. So if you wonder why they struck out on Mekhi Hughes, Justice Hayes from Alabama, Ahmad Hardy, it was cost. It was, and that's really what roster buildings come down to. It's all right, how much does it cost compared to how we value that position and what our other needs are? And yeah, Ole Miss had an obvious needed running back, but that one guy wasn't going to solve it for them. They wanted multiple options. That's where the Trey Hall injury kind of hurts, is because it hurts your depth. You didn't have depth last year. You thought you did, but you didn't. Rashad Amos didn't do anything for you. Dominique Thomas was a short yardage guy. Logan Diggs was out all year because he was hurt. This year, you try to replenish the cupboard with the amount of money it costs to go get one Justice Hayes or one Ahmad Hardy or one Fluff Bothwell, who ended up going to Mississippi State. They just got in the game late with him. I think that's the only reason why they weren't a finalist, or they were a finalist, but they didn't win out. Point being is that the money they had allocated for that room, they don't want to splurge on one guy and then be left if something like this were to happen with an injury. But it does raise the question, have you done enough? And I'm not sure. Even though I love the potential of what Kiwan Lacy could be, I love what Shekhi Mills-Knight could be, and no one thought Quinshon was going to be a single-season record, single-season rushing record holder for Ole Miss as a true freshman coming out of Pike Road as a three-star prospect. So who knows? Maybe Shekhi Mills-Knight as a four-star comes in and he does that thing. But that's where it hurts is – Have they done enough? Is the depth better than what they thought they had last year, which was five guys, and it ended up being one and a half, Ended up moving a wide receiver, Malachi Davis, who's not even here anymore, Micah Davis, who's not even here anymore. He's going to Southern Miss to running back. It doesn't make any sense.
Can I just say, I don't think I've ever been more incorrect about a player than when I thought Rashad Amos was going to be a dude.
I did too.
I whiffed so hard on that.
Hand up. I did too. Wrote a story because the efficiency numbers and the analytics were pretty encouraging.
Yeah.
And I was raised to believe that math doesn't lie. Apparently it does when it comes to Rashad Amos, or running backs at least, because I thought Ole Miss had enough there. But it's interesting, the Jackson Dart having his running game when he was breaking as a starter in Austin Simmons, that does have an effect, right? I mean, that's an important thing. A guy that, we expect him to be good, but you're throwing him out there and expecting him to be the guy when he doesn't have – he has a lot of unknown around him, while Jackson Dart had a little bit more sure stuff, I guess.
Right? Yeah, I mean, a quarterback's best friend is a strong running game. And a lot was on Jackson's plate last year, and Jackson could handle it because Jackson was a 3-year starter. If you're putting that much on Austin Simmons as a first year starter, it's going to be most likely be problematic.
It's going to be problematic. But Ole Miss football is in the middle of its all season strength and conditioning program. The spring games have been getting canceled all over. I expect Ole Miss was kind of out in front of this last year by rolling with the Grove Bowl games instead of traditional
Joey Chestnut Bowl.
Yes, the Joey Chestnut Bowl. And it was fun for what it was, but now you're seeing across the board, they're not even going to that. They're not even doing some fun gimmicky stuff. They're just straight up canceling spring games because of the portal, because of injury concerns, the money involved with this. Now there's far greater risk than reward to play these players. But what do you think the spring will entail for Ole Miss? What can we actually learn knowing that Ole Miss is going to be in the same boat as Texas and all these other ones? Maybe not canceling the spring game outright, but the focus is going to be different. How they approach it is going to be different.
Yeah, I think that the point of spring now is like we're not supposed to learn anything. And that's by design, right? Like you just need to keep your roster intact. I think that's what this is all about now. It's if you don't want someone hearing about a breakout player in practice or in the spring game, and then he enters the portal because he thinks he should be getting, that's just how it is now. So I think by design, we are probably not going to learn a ton. I'm not sure what it's going to look like in terms of availability and viewing and stuff. If I had to guess, it'll probably be on the lower end just because that's, it is what it is. I think we're going to see a lot of like very vanilla kind of stuff. And I think that's what a lot of schools are doing now. I don't think you're doing a ton of install, this in terms of, putting all your best stuff out there. And plus, you're going to have guys recovering from injury. You're still going to have, not all your true freshmen are there. So, it's not the full deck of cards, but I do think that, by design, I think spring ball, the era of learning something from spring ball has probably passed us by.
Who does have the most to gain, though? If I said, give me three players, I'll give you one. Obviously, for me, it starts with Austin Simmons because you're breaking in the starter. Either of us could have picked them. So let's go three non-Austin Simmons players that have the most to gain from spring ball. First one for me probably would go to wide receiver and think of a DeJon Stribling and stepping in for Trey Harris. He'd pick a wide receiver, but I think Ole Miss needs him to be opposite, or Caden Leaf, he's in the slot opposite whoever ends up on the other side, Caleb Odom, who doesn't have the kind of production on his resume as DeJon Stribling. They need DeJon Stribling to step in and be that dude immediately. So I think he has a ton to gain. Austin Simmons in that chemistry, developing that even in just practices, though you won't probably get a spring game, probably another Grove Bowl game. DeJon Stribling being that number one, or at least number two, and being a threat outside of the number one Caden Leaf to be used like Elijah Moore was back in 2020. You need that threat on the outside. So DeJon Stribling, for me, would be the first one I say has a lot to gain, if not more to gain than most in spring this year. Give me one.
Yeah, I literally was going to say one of the new wide receivers. So you can. Yep. You got me there. I mean,
we'll pick third together. You pick the second, and then we'll pick the third together.
Okay. I do think that this is going to be, and you take it with a grain of salt what you see, but I think the defensive interior is going to be interesting to see how that sort of works itself out. Because again, you've got a lot of like young, talented pieces that you've brought in over the last couple years. I'm curious to see like what the pecking order actually is. Cause I think like, we think we might know the pecking order, but I'm curious to see what it actually looks like with Cam Franklin and Jamarius Brown and all of these talented guys you've brought in, Eccles, all those guys. You know, what does it actually look like when they're the guys who are really being depended on?
It's the second most important question, if not the top one for defense, because you're replacing your entire starting defensive line cast, the same defensive line that set records for Ole Miss in sacks and tackles for loss, and you still lost three regular season games. And now you got to replace them. It wouldn't surprise me, because every single one of them has already gotten a first-round projection, to see all of Princely, Monmiel, and Walter Nolan, Jared Ivey get into the first round potentially. And this week is the NFL Scouting Combine. And Ole Miss is sending a program record 11 players to Indianapolis. Are you going?
I am not, but I will be following. I'm a combine sicko. I love the combine.
I love the combine too. I really thought about going this year, but the novelty is worn off. Like when I went and covered it a few times, it still felt like something people were discovering a little bit. And now it's become like SEC media days, where yes, it's free content and there's no. Yeah, but I am absolutely going to be plugged in, because 11 Ole Miss Rebels are program record. Ole Miss Rebels are there in Indianapolis. Jackson Dart, unlike Shedeur Sanders, is going to throw, which let's be honest, is he making himself into a first rounder?
I think I don't think anyone has helped themselves quite as much as Jackson has over these. Without even playing a snap, he has helped himself tremendously. Like, and I think he's going to be impressive at the combine too.
Yeah, you know, against Air Jackson Dart with the locks of the California Dream.
It's going to look pretty.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to look by the book, standard casting, basic casting, man. I mean, this is main stuff. This is what you look for. He's going to look good against Air, and I think he can make his way into the first round. Actually, Todd McShay was talking about that recently, how there's rumblings, especially with teams at the top end of the first round. Why, like we've been talking about here on Talk of Champions, why take a chance on a guy who, when you can get comparable value later and address more needs with guys like Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? These are the top end guys. I mean, these are the guys that I would be wanting to take first or second, not necessarily quarterback, but quarterbacks always get deference. All right, third guy that has the most to gain for Ole Miss in spring practice, I think pick a corner, but I'm going to say TJ Banks. Only because, like we talked about running backs, and Ole Miss could add another running back here in the spring portal after Trey Hall gets hurt. But they're going to add a cornerback no matter what, because that's where they haven't addressed enough, an obvious problem area. Now, Chris Graves returns. They like TJ Banks. They like Preston Broom coming up. You know, he's still a little too skinny. But Jalen Braxton's the only – and he might play safety. He's the only thing you know for sure to come in to step in potentially and play for Trey Amos. So, for me, TJ Banks – time to step up. The old days of, oh, can so-and-so step up because so-and-so is gone? You know, those old football stories we used to do, cats. It's like, oh, hey, a tenured guy, step it up. You know, just a newcomer, a young buck. Can you take your turn, you know?
I think that fans are going to really, truly appreciate how good Trey Amos was this past year. And not saying that none of these guys aren't going to be good, but when you have a guy that can lock down a side of the field like Amos could, you really take that for granted.
Yep. Yep. Completely dominated his side of the ball. No one threw it to his side. So TJ Banks, this is your spring, man, even though you probably won't have a spring game. He's Michael Katz. He covers your Ole Miss Rebels for the Daily Journal, and I'm making him a regular contributor to Talk of Champions. He doesn't even know it yet, but I'm making him a contributor.
This is breaking news. I love it.
See, this is just part of it. He's too good. He's too fun to talk to. Ole Miss baseball this afternoon, Tuesday, rival Southern Miss, six of their first seven games they won them. They're in the top 25 at number 24. Southern Miss, number 22, Will McCausland. McCausland is getting the ball for Ole Miss, the start for Ole Miss, not Alex Caney, both transfers, but Will McCausland could not have been more impressive in that bounce back win over number 15, then number 15 Clemson in Arlington. Your thoughts before we jump out of here real briefly about where Ole Miss baseball is. Am I pulling back on the hopium a little too much? Because I'm not going to lie to you, I'm starting to talk myself into some things, Cats.
Yeah, I mean, did we learn anything against Eastern Kentucky? No. They did what they needed to do. But at the same time, we saw LSU lose to Omaha in one of their games over the weekend. You know, you took care of business, and that does count for something. I still think that, like, what we saw that first weekend was really impressive. Is Arizona as good as we thought they were? Probably not. They seem to kind of be all over the place right now. But we know Texas is really good. We know Clemson is very, very good. I think winning 2 of 3 in that Arlington tournament was a really big deal. And I think today is going to be interesting too, because Southern Miss, again, they're in the top 25 now as well. I think they're 22 in D1 baseball poll. They've always got a great program going. I think I've talked myself into this, like, this seems like it can be a regional team.
I'm there. I think it's a 2 seed somewhere. That's where I started, and that's not what I've moved off of. I don't feel any better. I don't feel any worse. I am more encouraged because Hunter looks himself. And
yes,
I mean, if Hunter's going to look like this, they don't win that game against Arizona, who is not necessarily a good team, but they don't win that 2-1 in any game the last 2 years. That's just, they didn't have the guy that could win that game. And now they have the pitching and the pitching options. But yeah, I'm still kind of wait and see. A 2 seed somewhere feels about right. If you and I have to go to, like, ULL, so be it. You know, we'll all load up and go eat good in Louisiana. I think that this Southern Miss game will be a very good tip, because really it's not about the results so much as, like, how does Will McCausland look? I mean, as an emerging rotation piece, stuff like that. Like, role is getting cemented. Hayden Frederico is doing that thing, leading off for Ole Miss as a true freshman. Yeah. Explain something to me before we get out of here, though, okay? Because you're a much more measured man than me. All right, I'm a cartoon, right? I'm riding a roller coaster all day. Let me ask my pragmatic friend Michael Katz. If Hayden Frederico, who started 3 of the first 7 games and he's got 8 hits in his first 13 at bats, if he was good enough to lead off the 3 games he started, why is he not good enough to start the other games? Like, it makes no sense.
Hey, there we are. I don't know. I do think we're in the early part of the season where I think they're just going to be – there's a lot of guys who are going to be – but in a lot of different places. But I think it was Chuck the other day was like, it's going to be hard to keep him out of the lineup, isn't it? And yeah, as only Chuck can ask.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to not play him, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, is he going to hit 600 for the rest of the year? Probably not. But he's got good at bats. It's not even about the hits. It's just he does not look overwhelmed up there.
He doesn't. But that's what I'm saying, Katz. Son of a head coach in college. He's been around a college game. And in the games you started him, he did exactly as you expected. I just don't understand how you go from leadoff starter and spark plug to bitch in 4 other games. You know, like, for a team that needed to score runs. That's just, I didn't understand it. But I'm
magical sport.
I love that Ole Miss baseball has options this year, and it's not just as far as the offense, but in the pitching staff, and Hunter Elliott is that dude. And this has been – Michael Katz is that dude, and this has been another edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Michael Katz. What's the Twitter handle?
At Michael L. Katz.
I keep forgetting the L. At Michael L. Katz. What does the L stand for?
Lawrence.
Lawrence, we talked about this too. I have a nephew named Lawrence. Mine is Lee, Benjamin Lee. That's neither here nor there. But at Michael L. Katz on Twitter, check out his stuff in the Daily Journal, dailyjournal.com. Still got papers that come out too. And look,
I can't believe it either.
I got an old Daily Journal right here on the wall, man. This is from Alabama Ole Miss 2003. They're my favorite football game of all time, 27-24. Still on the wall. So the Daily Journal, Michael Katz, and I'm Ben Garrett. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. Sign up today. $1 per week for the full year. That's like $50. We'd love to have you come hang out with us. And yeah, Riverland Roofing, which powers everything we do, riverlandroofing.com. The little house up top that you can't see for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Katz, it's Riverland Roofing. Look at that. Look at that. Like coming into your TV screen. Yeah. Riverlandroofing.com, man. They power everything we do. I love Billy and them. Thank you, Katz. I appreciate you, man. I hate the LA Dodgers blanket, but I like you. So let's have you back on again soon.
Appreciate it.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.